Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord and our Savior, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in the risen Lord, what were some of your thoughts, some of your feelings as you came to church this morning? I hope and pray that you are all looking forward to hearing God's word this morning and what he has to say to you about your life and his forgiveness. Maybe a lot of you were also excited to study more of God's word in Bible class or in Sunday school, which is very beneficial for you. And maybe at the same time you were excited to enjoy the fellowship or the blessing of fellowship, to worship with your friends, your family, and to catch up with one another. But let me ask you, were any of you afraid to come to church this morning? Were your knuckles turning pale white because you tightly grasped the steering wheel because you were so afraid? Did you park your car off in the distance, wore a hood, and sneak into this church? And right now, at this very moment, are you kind of looking over your shoulder, afraid of who might see you here? Of course not. You are not afraid to be in the Lord's house for worship. For when you are here, you're at ease. You're at calm. You're at peace. But not so with the disciples that we heard about this morning. They are not at peace. They are overcome with fear. Overcome with fear of what the people might do to them. You know, just last week for these disciples, they walked into Jerusalem behind Jesus riding a donkey. And the people raised their voices. They lifted up in song and said, "Hosanna in the highest." But then just a few days earlier, Judas, one of their own friends, betrayed Jesus. Jesus was arrested and there was nothing that they could do. And then on Good Friday morning, they heard the people cry out and shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so they saw Jesus die on the cross. And they're overcome with fear, thinking, if they will do that to our leader, Jesus, what would they do to us, his followers? Will they hunt us down and try to kill us? They are overcome with fear of what the people could do to them. But they are also overcome with fear and guilt for what they had done. For when Jesus was arrested, the disciples all fled him. Not one of them stayed behind and said, "If you're going to arrest Jesus, arrest me too." And Peter, who promised that he would die for Jesus before he would leave him, denied that he even knew Jesus three times. And so the disciples are overcome with fear. They're overcome with guilt. But they are also confused at this very moment. For this account from John happens on the evening of that first Easter Sunday. And Peter and John, after hearing a report that the tomb was empty, they rushed to that tomb. And they saw nothing there except the burial clothes. The disciples heard the report from the women who went to the tomb and said, "Jesus is risen and we have seen him." And then two disciples just came back from their travel to Emmaus. And they told the disciples that they had seen Jesus alive in the flesh. But the disciples, they're still afraid, they're confused, and they're hiding behind locked doors. But then appears Jesus. And as amazing as it was for these disciples to see Jesus alive in the flesh, it was also awesome for the disciples to hear what Jesus had to say to them. He said, "Peace be with you." Jesus did not say, "Oh, you of little faith." He did not say, you hypocrites who deserted me. He did not say, oh, you cowards who are afraid to let the world know you are my disciples. Instead, he said, peace be with you. And this wasn't some sort of pious wish from Jesus, as if he was saying, I hope you will have peace. This was a declaration from the risen Lord proclaiming peace to his disciples. But what was that peace? It was the peace of knowing that their sins had been forgiven, that peace of knowing that there was peace between them and God. It was that peace that Jesus promised to them just a few days earlier when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And not only has Jesus overcome the world by his death and resurrection, but notice who also overcomes this world according to John in his epistle this morning. Who is it that overcomes this world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ overcomes this world. And that is the blessing that you have received from our risen Lord. We all have received peace. But does it feel like you have peace in your life? And even the peace that you do have, does it seem to last all that long? And we live in such a busy world. We are busy with all the different appointments that we have to go to. We're busy with our work schedules. We're busy with school and homework. We're busy taking care of the kids. We're busy preparing a meal or taking care of the home. It's like we have no peace in our lives. And the greatest unrest to peace that we have in our lives is the sins that we have committed. The sins that weigh us down, that burden us with guilt. The sins that bother us so much we lock them in the back of our memory because we just don't want to deal with them. But you have peace. That is the blessing that you have received from your risen Lord. Peace of knowing that your sins have been forgiven because of Christ's death and resurrection. And you have peace in your life right now. For Jesus, who overcame this world, is there with you to overcome the troubles of this world in your own life. You have peace. And we heard about that last week on Easter. We're hearing about it again this morning. We hear it over and over again throughout all of Scripture. But it's easy for us to doubt that, isn't it? To doubt about God's promises, to doubt about God's love, to doubt about who our God really is. That's exactly what Thomas did. Thomas did not believe. Thomas doubted. But could you really blame him? After all, the other disciples got to see Jesus' wounds, see the nail marks and the wound in his side. But the difference between Thomas and the rest of the disciples was that Thomas demanded proof. He demanded physical, tangible proof that Jesus had risen by putting his finger in the nail marks and his hand into the side. So Thomas did not believe. And for the next week, Thomas remained in his unbelief. But once again, behind those locked doors, Jesus appears. And he says to his disciples, peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas, shows him the nail marks in his hand, the wound in his side, and he says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And immediately Thomas said, my God and my Lord. He no longer doubted, but he believed. But then Jesus said something that might seem very peculiar to us. Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus says, it is better to believe without seeing than to believe by seeing. Does that seem true to you? Do you feel more blessed to believe even though you haven't seen Jesus? Let me ask you, would you rather be Thomas and have physical, tangible proof? Or would you rather be who you are right now, where it seems like you have no proof for what you believe? I think we would all choose to be Thomas. After all, how many times have we heard people say that we Christians live by blind faith? There is no proof for what you people believe. You believe a myth. You believe a made-up story. And those accusations, they can get to us, can't they? To the point that we begin to doubt. We say to God, just give me some proof of your love. Give me some sort of physical, tangible proof that I can share with other people that you are real. God, just give me something. But this refusal to simply believe and trust in Jesus is sin. It's unbelief. It's a lack of trust in our God and our Lord. But that is the other blessing that you do receive from our risen Lord. The blessing of proof. For these accounts written in the Bible were eyewitnesses who saw that Jesus was alive and were willing to put their lives on the line for what they believed. The Bible is not a myth. It is not a made-up story. Your faith is not blind. And God has given you physical, tangible proof of His love. That's the beauty of the sacraments. For at your baptism, you felt the water wash away your sins. And in communion, you physically get to touch and to taste our Savior's body and blood connected with the bread and the wine, which offers forgiveness of your sins. And through the Word, God has created faith in your hearts to believe that this is true. You do have the blessing of proof from your risen Lord. But there are people out in this world who do not have that assurance. They struggle with their doubts. They do not have peace. They live in fear of their sins. And that's the other purpose, or that's the other blessing that you have received from your risen Lord, a purpose. Listen again to what Jesus said. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Just as God sent his Son to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, Jesus has called you to do the same thing. And you do that simply by preaching the law and the gospel. And the disciples took that purpose to heart in their lives. We heard about that in our second lesson from Peter, or about Peter. He simply declared the law to the people how they killed Jesus. But he also encouraged them to repent of their sins. And if they did repent, Peter would have forgiven them. And God has called you to do the same thing. This is your purpose. But that's something that we can be afraid of, isn't it? We're not afraid to come to church to hear God's word. But when it comes to leaving church and to share God's word with others, that can be terrifying. We can be afraid to let our light shine. Instead, we want to lock it behind locked doors. Because why is it my business how someone else lives their lives? Or I am not qualified enough like Peter to complete this purpose. And certainly we are not qualified for this purpose. Why should God use us sinners to preach His glorious word? but that is the blessing that you have received from your risen Lord. And it's a blessing that you rejoiced in this morning. For every single one of us this morning confessed our sins, and then you heard me say, as a called servant of Christ, I forgive you your sins. And what I said was just as valid if Jesus stood here this morning and proclaimed forgiveness to you. And it's just as valid as when you preach forgiveness to others. Don't be afraid to carry out the purpose that God has called you to do. Preach the law to those who have been disobedient to bring them to repentance. Forgive the sins of those who are burdened with guilt. Share the blessings that you have received from your risen Lord. Take the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven and bring that peace to those who live in fear. Take the proof that you have that Jesus is risen to those who struggle with their doubts about God and His love. Take to heart the purpose that Christ has called you to by simply proclaiming His word. For these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find in your pew.